listening to the Omaha Bar Association Bar Talk podcast. This podcast was recorded in April 2023 with Stu Dornan of Dornan Law Team interviewing Judge Stephanie Shearer of Douglas County Court. Enjoy.
Judge, thanks so much for taking the time to visit.
Thanks for having me here, Stu.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. So I just wanted to start out with, what was it like on the street that you lived on 100th and Center growing up?
Well, I grew up in Omaha. When I was at the end of second grade, we moved to the West Side School District. I was a Catholic school kid. I went to Christ the King. I'm the oldest of four in my family. My next youngest brother is only 10 and a half months younger than me, so he's part of every single childhood memory that I have. Then my parents took a break. So my next brother after that, I'm 11 years older than him and 13 years older than my youngest. So growing up, just a lot of kids in the neighborhood, school. I played sports, soccer, basketball, softball, and a lot of brother stuff. When I had just the two of us, you know, we were so close in age that we hung out and did a lot of stuff together. And then later when I was older and my younger brothers came around, a lot of babysitting was involved.
Okay. So as you grew into adolescence, did you have an idea of what you might want to do in life?
No, I really didn't. My dad has owned a business since 1972, and it's painting, commercial, residential, carpet cleaning. So he was a very blue collar, working class individual. But I saw him grow his business from him doing all the work out of our basement to owning a building and to employing a lot more people. So he was a great example of hard work and building a business. I really had no idea what I wanted to do at all. When I was in high school, I had numerous jobs. I worked for Steve Loeffler as a runner for a while. He was my basketball coach, and that was my first experience with the law. One summer, we had a summer league, and he wanted us all to be there. We had one of our teammates lived at 108th and Fort. I went to Duchenne, and so we were all over the city, and he needed someone to drive her, and I said, well, I need a job. And he goes, great. I'll give you a job. You can work in my office. You can be a runner, but you have to drive Anna, was her name, to practice. I said, deal. So that's how I started. I worked for him in the summers after my sophomore, junior, senior year of high school, and then after my freshman year of college. And so that was a fun experience. I saw a lot of lawyers. I saw a lot of the practice of law. It was very different back then. There was still a mail room on the upstairs of the courthouse that I'd run and get mail, and a lot more in-person running. Sure. During the time, Steve first was partnered with Barbara Flick and then with Fred Franklin. So I got to meet those individuals. And that was my first experience with the law. I had an opportunity to sit in some trials with Steve back then, a federal tax evasion trial that was very interesting. So that was kind of the first peek that I had into the practice of law. But I worked at Cub Foods and the donuts. I sold shoes. I worked at Godfather's Pizza. I did a lot of other jobs too. So it wasn't until basically the end of my college that I decided I wanted to go to law school.
And where did you go to law school, and what was your first job either in law school or in any realm?
So I went to law school. I went to undergrad at the University of Iowa. I went to law school at Creighton. I really wanted to come back to Omaha because at that time my younger brothers were still just finishing grade school and in high school. And so at that time they didn't want us to work our first year, and I didn't. Right before, I was a December grad, so I had about 9 months before I started law school. I worked at M's Pub for those 9 months, waiting tables. And then my brother, who's 11 years younger than me, and my 13-year-old younger brother, were going to marry our queen at the time. And they were having a marry our queen family party at my parents' house, and Jim Jansen was there. And he asked me what I was doing for the summer after my first year. And I said, I didn't really have an idea yet. And he said, if you're interested, we're hiring law clerks. And so I reached out to him on Monday, went in and interviewed, and started working in the county attorney's office as a law clerk over in the civil division for the first year. And then I transferred to the criminal division in the domestic violence as a law clerk. And then after graduation, I passed the bar and Mr. Jansen hired me on.
So you have held a number of different positions.
Yes.
You started out clerking at the Douglas County Attorney's Office. And then I think from there, you became a Deputy Douglas County Attorney.
Correct.
You then were in private practice doing some criminal defense, and
yes.
some civil work. How has those experiences shaped your philosophy with respect to being on the bench?
Well, I certainly am very happy that I had the opportunity to practice both as a county attorney and as a private practitioner. I think that basis of knowledge really helps me to have a better perspective of people who are coming before me. For example, I was a prosecutor for 13 years. And when I switched and started in private practice with Reagan Mount Delaney and started to represent people in criminal cases, it was an interesting transition because a lot of times they were very leery of me or didn't trust me because they thought I was, you know, working with the prosecutors. And I had to convince them that maybe it isn't such a bad thing if you know all the prosecutors and the judges, especially in a defense case. But I really gained a lot of perspective in representing people. I was one of the alternate public defenders for Sarpy County during that time period. So I did a lot of criminal cases, everything ranging from, you know, minor traffic things to first degree murder. And it really gave me a good perspective for situations where defendants find themselves in and why that might be. I think just also my background growing up with having just a working class family was also very helpful in that, because a lot of the people that come before us come from pretty difficult situations growing up. And then it also gave me a real good perspective on what I would be handling when I took the bench. I think sometimes people who haven't practiced a lot in county court or juvenile court or district court take the bench and they're not aware exactly of what happens there on an everyday basis. I think sometimes people who only do criminal law forget that in addition to the criminal cases that the county court handles, we have a whole civil division. We have the probate division. So I'm glad that my civil practice gave me an opportunity to practice in those areas before I applied for the position.
What do you enjoy doing outside of work? What are some of your hobbies?
Well, I have two boys. They're 12 and 8, and they're very busy with sports and football, swimming, baseball, golf. So I try to spend as much time as I can with them doing those things. They don't want me to coach because they're embarrassed by having a mom there, but I do try, you know, if I can get away to help with when they're doing rounds on the course or if they need extra help at practice, and volunteer at the swim meet. So I'm very involved with my kids. I also am very addicted to rowing. I exercise at a place called the Row House, and I just hit 3 million meters. It's something that I've found in the past couple of years that I just really love that form of exercise. And I have historically had a bad back, so it's been great for me. I haven't had any problems, knock on wood, for a couple of years. And then I'm involved with my family. I have a lot of family here in Omaha. So we're pretty close. And in the summers, I like to go camping. And so that's kind of fun for our family. And we try to plan a trip every year to get out into nature. We're heading to Glacier for the first time at the end of summer. So we'll see how that goes. We just spent some freezing cold days in Great Sand Dunes National Park and Grand Escalante National Monument. Spring break, not a good idea in Utah. So, big mistake.
How have you adapted to being a judge in the issues of isolation and seclusion? What have you done to address that particular environment?
Yeah, it's difficult. It's a real difficult transition, especially when you go from someplace like working in the county attorney's office where there's always people around. And then, you know, I had worked in a smaller firm, but still I was in the courthouse every day and interacting with people. And then, you know, they put you in an office back in the courthouse that nobody can get to because it's secured and it's just quiet all the time. I think for me, one thing I try to do is be involved in things like the OBA or in other areas like that. I still involved in the Sarpy County Bar Association, because that just gives you an opportunity to get out and to see people in an atmosphere that's not the courthouse. And then, you know, just try to keep in contact. It is a little awkward because people practice in front of you. So it's easier to find people who you don't see in the courtroom environment and try to, you know, keep in contact with them, go out, have lunch, have coffee, whatever. But it really is an effort to try to be involved and not isolated, I think.
Okay. With respect to the practice, what do you look for with respect to attorneys who come before you? What do you find that they do the best to assist you? And what do you find that they don't do to help assist you?
Well, I mean, I think everyone's probably heard it before, but be prepared and be on time. Those are the two things, especially in county court. You know, we have a high volume. And so if someone's unprepared or they're not on time, it sometimes really throws a wrench in the works. One thing I think people should know is that we in county court don't have any support staff. We don't have, you know, attorneys who work for us. We don't have paralegals. So if we get a complex issue that pops up, we're doing our own research. We're writing our own orders. So if you know that you're bringing something before someone in county court, a brief in support of your position, or just, and it doesn't have to be formal, I think is always helpful. Or if you want to send a proposed order, I think we're always appreciative of that. I think the most annoying thing that happens with practitioners is just the no-show sometimes. You're not one of those, Stu, but it just not showing up. If you have something scheduled or not complying with an order, a pretrial order, those are the things that I think are the most annoying as far as being on the bench.
Okay. So if you had to do it all over again, this is primarily for younger lawyers, or we have members in the OBA who are in law school, would you change anything?
I don't know that I would change anything. It's been a course that I didn't know I would take. I remember when I was graduating from law school, I was trying to decide what to do. And my mom was friends with a senior attorney at Kutak's mom. And so she hooked me up to go speak with him. And we were just talking about, you know, career paths and what you want to do. And he said, what do you like most about working at the county attorney's office? And I said, well, what I like most is that I know that if I stay there, I'm going to have a chance to try cases. And I had just completed, you know, advanced trial practice at Creighton. And I knew I loved that. And he said, then don't leave. If that's what you like, then don't leave. Don't worry about money. Don't worry about, you know, how your career is going to go. Just stay there and try and do that. And I think that's the best advice that I got. You know, he said, don't waste your time trying to find something else if you're in a spot that you like what you're doing. I do think that, you know, people said, you know, it's okay to try something. And if you don't like it, you can change. Law is a little different that way. I know, you know, and sometimes when you're preparing your resume for other jobs, they say it looks bad if you hop around or if you've had a lot of different kinds of jobs. I feel like in the legal field, if you try something and you find it's just not your area, or you find an area that you think you could excel at, it's okay to pursue something else. But what do you think, Stu? You've had a lot of career changes.
You know, I wouldn't change anything either. You know, I've just been really fortunate to work in a lot of different areas of the law. And it has really helped me understand the human condition a lot more. Yeah. From every angle, kind of like the perspective, you know, how it shaped my worldview. So I particularly am very fond of the fact that you have all that experience before you came on the bench, because oftentimes judges don't have the broad level of experience that you have.
Yeah, I'm very glad. I wish, you know, I was in private practice a little longer. It just kind of happened that this spot became available and I was appointed to the bench, it's still kind of a process that it's hard to wrap my head around, because I'm not the type of, I guess in my background and growing up, I just never thought that I would be a judge. You know, we don't have a lot of, my family doesn't have a lot of political connections, or it's that's just not how I grew up, that I thought this would be. And it's a strange process becoming a judge. But I do think when you hear, for example, people who go to the district court and they don't realize that the majority of the time is spent doing dissolutions, it's a little shocking. But I'm very glad that I knew what I was getting into and that I had the opportunity to represent criminal defendants for 4 years and that I had practiced in the probate court, practiced in the civil practice, because it, I think, really helped me transition to the job a lot easier.
What do you think the future of law looks like with respect to advances in technology? And how do you think the legal community can better serve their clients and be in situations where they can make a real difference in somebody's life?
You know, I think obviously we have to advance with technology. One thing that I think is a difficult, you know, we have a lot of pro se practitioners, pro se individuals in Douglas County. Technology is really a hindrance to them, I believe. For example, look at the Tenant Assistance Project. That's been a wildly successful project, and it's pretty low tech. People showing up every day offering their help. Now they're there helping people apply for tenant assistance funds, or, you know, they're helping them fill out the applications that these people don't have online access to. That's why they can't get this done. The advances in technology, while they're nice to have, you send me an order through the portal that I can sign and file in 30 seconds is great. But when we're talking about practitioners, or we're talking about pro se individuals, I think it's kind of really leaving them behind. You know, we're unique in Douglas County because of the volume of people that we have that are coming in, but it's not just evictions. It's small claims court, it's civil court, it's the criminal court. So I feel like there needs to be some way to bridge that gap between if you're a practitioner and if you're a pro se individual. And I don't think that's being addressed right now. I also think that as easy as it is in for technology to advance the practice, we lose a little bit of the face-to-face as well. And I just have noticed it more and more, especially now that we're transitioning to almost all digital. You know, I wonder who's going to be phased out as far as jobs and how it's going to change. I think back to when I was a runner for Steve Loeffler, and I had a job and I was answering phones and I was running papers from, you know, his office to the courthouse or his office to a judge's chambers at the federal court and picking up mail and doing those sorts of things. Well, I don't know that people need runners anymore because they can do it over the phone. They can do it electronically. The mail gets delivered. So I just don't know how we'll change and start to phase out people like that through the years. And then I find older practitioners really are struggling. I know talking to my former bailiff, who's now one of the electronic court reporters in district court, that, you know, for them to bring a laptop and to do exhibits electronically, it's difficult for some people. And so I feel like, again, a way to bridge the gap would be nice.
You have two children.
Yes.
And how do you balance your life with respect to your job? Your husband is also employed. What advice do you have for young attorneys who are starting out planning a family or having a family, as far as what's the best way to navigate that?
Well, I feel very lucky that When I worked in the county attorney's office when I had my first child, and I had been there for 10 years by that time. So I had a lot of sick and vacation saved up. And so that made that process a lot easier because I was able to take time and stay at home and be with him the first 3 months. I basically took 12 weeks off. when I had my second child, I was in private practice, and he was born on December 1st. And December 2nd, I did a hearing from my hospital bed telephonically in district court. And I was back to work basically the first week of January. But it worked for both kids. I made it work. I think, you know, obviously you have to fashion your practice so that you have time for your family. There's no doubt that working in a government job is easier for that, because you were really kicked out of the courthouse at 4:30 in the afternoon. And so you can stay late if you need to or you want to, but everything shuts down and you can go home. Private practice, you're working a lot more hours. But I think, you know, the most important thing is to just get your priorities straight, and then always to be clear with the people that you're working with. I was fortunate when I was working in a small firm, Reagan Mountain Delaney, they were, you know, easy to work with. They were happy that I had a child, and they made it easy for me to be a mom and to be a practitioner. I think if you don't set the boundaries and rules with your employer, it's going to be difficult, because I do think that there's employers who, especially when younger attorneys, they take advantage of them, and they work a lot more hours. So I just think it's clear. You need to be clear always with what your priorities are.
There's a poem called The Summer's Day by Mary Oliver. And one of the questions that she asks in the poem is, tell me what you plan to do with the rest of your one wild and precious life.
Well, you know, I honestly can't say that I have a plan. Coming up on my 6th anniversary of being a judge, May 1st will be my 6th anniversary. I have an 8-year-old. So I assume I'll be working for quite some time while he until he graduates from school. But I don't know. As I sit here today, I think about the day that I'm eligible to retire, and that would be May 1st. 15 years from now, essentially. And will I be someone who will say goodbye and walk out the door and do something else in that chapter of my life? Or will I be someone who wants to stay on the bench, you know, into my 70s or early 80s? As I sit here today, I don't know. But I do know that I hope to keep exploring the United States. I love going to national parks. I doing lots of fun things with my husband and my kids. And I've kind of been a type of person where I'm happy to try a lot of things. I can scuba dive, I can snow ski, I can water ski, I can, play lots of sports. I've seen different countries, I've traveled, and, I hope to just keep doing that. Hopefully I have the health to do it.
So attorneys, judges often get a lot of criticism for many, many things. Okay. How have you found, have you found the field of law to be a noble profession? And if so, how?
Yes. And I think just when you think about it, obviously we're an adversarial system, and someone always knows they're going to lose. They don't know. They might be the loser when they go in, but there's definitely not going to be two winners in most cases. I mean, sometimes they split the baby, but, and I feel like, you know, people in the practice in Omaha, especially the practitioners I've seen, they represent their clients, and generally treat each other with respect. And, the one thing that I find that I feel like we're losing in society today is that they can have different opinions, discuss them, argue them in court, and then still get along at the end of the day. I wish, you know, there's a lot of lawyer jokes out there, but I wish that people could see that generally, in the practice of law, people can be on two opposite sides of an idea and still respect each other and treat each other with respect. So I find that to be noble.
Any other thoughts that you have with respect to your life, your profession, advice to younger lawyers, advice to older lawyers. What would you say are the things that have most impacted you with respect to providing advice to others?
I guess one thing I would say is don't be afraid of failure or loss. You know, this is a profession where you're definitely not going to always win. You're going to many times be on the losing side. But if you take that opportunity and learn from it, then it's going to be okay. And don't let setbacks keep you down. You know, it's not easy to be told by the Supreme Court or the Court of Appeals when you're a practitioner or when you're a judge that you've done something wrong. But if you learn from it and try better next time, then at least something good came of it. And I do think for younger practitioners, just don't be afraid to ask someone who's been doing this for a long time advice. You know, mentoring is I think just the best thing that we have in this practice, Stu. I think when you came in the county attorney's office, you immediately set up a system where a more experienced attorney was paired up with a younger attorney for homicide cases. That was fantastic because it got so many more people exposed to how you accomplish a complicated task in prosecuting a homicide case. Older attorneys, I would say, you know, reach out to younger practitioners. And if you're willing to, just even if they come and watch you try a case or work through discovery or, you know, work up to what you would need to try a case. I think that that is one aspect of the practice of law that's kind of unique as a profession. And I hope people would take advantage of it.
Well, yes. Thank you so much for being a guest here to talk about your life and your career. It's a pleasure to have folks who are on the bench who take their job as seriously as you do and who try to get it right every time.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And it's been a pleasure to be here. And remember, we're just people too. We can make mistakes. But I think generally the group of people that I work with, we're trying to get it right.
Yeah. Well, grace is a good word, too.
Yes, exactly.